Welcome to the CMO Reset.
I'm Norman Guadagno, multi-time CMO, agency leader, and all-around marketing guy, endlessly questioning how to balance who I am with what I do.
And I'm Jeff Hadfield, longtime journalist, media person, tech industry guy, community and ecosystem builder, partnership forger, and part-time DJ.
Join us for the CMO Reset and get perspective on your work, your life, and the world we're in.
Let's dive in.
Perspective, our point of view.
Welcome to episode 5, the first episode of this CMO Reset to be recorded after we officially launched the podcast. That means that everything we said in the first 4 episodes is now out there for the world to have heard, for better or worse. Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say the whole world has heard it. I do know that a few people listened because they were nice enough to give me some feedback. Thank you. You who are listening first time, go back and check out the earlier episodes. This is not a serial podcast, so you are safe dropping in at any point. There is no murder or murderer to be revealed. But I do think that my mind is operating a bit serially in this opening section, and I'm trying to connect some dots I placed earlier. I've been listening to David Bowie a lot lately. Bowie has always been one of my favorites, both for his music and for his overall artistic sense and sensibility. But I'm really focused on end of career, end of life, Bowie right now. I believe his legacy was made so much greater by the music he left at the end and the way he left it. Now, there's ample discussion online and in the media about Black Star, his last album of new material, recorded with the knowledge of his impending death and released on his 69th birthday, 2 days before he passed on. The album evokes themes of death and departure and how we show up in the world. I really believe it requires multiple listens to fully appreciate. The title song, Black Star, speaks directly to the topic of death and the acceptance, even celebration, of transition from this life to whatever is next. The quality of the work Bowie produced, knowing he was going to be gone, raises many questions for me. It is the very definition of how we interpret the phrase swan song and cemented his legacy as being a unique artistic innovator. And the work brings me joy, pure joy, at the beauty of his craft and his clear acceptance of his situation. Now, I'm no Bowie, not even close. But this was on my mind last year as I was leaving my CMO role. Knowing I had the luxury of a publicly announced 2-month transition, there was a choice on the table. I could, as many justifiably do, sit back and be the lame duck CMO, allowing myself to quickly become irrelevant as the marketing engine continued to churn. Or I could lean in and do my best to make my work impactful and meaningful, a swan song of sorts. This is a decision many of us must make in our careers, often weighing the good of the organization against our own needs. It doesn't even have to be a public transition, does it? If we know we are going to leave, our behavior may also change. Frankly, it's likely to change. How we show up changes. Our colleagues will see it and ask themselves questions or make assumptions about what the change in behavior means. We can choose to be a duck or a swan. I chose to be a swan. I invested myself heavily in delivering as much value as I could during the transition. I showed up in meetings fully engaged and prepared. I listened to Bowie sing in the background as I rose up to meet the challenges, knowing that soon I would be gone and the team and the company would continue without me. Whatever I did, I thought of the impact it would have on the business. And it wasn't easy. There were days where I simply wanted to sit back and let the credits roll on all I had accomplished. But I refused to give in to that. It was pride, for sure, but it was something more. It was what I felt was right. I had earned the right to sit at that executive table as CMO and fully intended to do the work that I had been asked to do until my time was done. Did anyone notice? Did it matter? It mattered to me. I can say that I received feedback from several colleagues that they did notice. Some even were surprised. Not necessarily surprised at me, but at how it compared to what they had seen from others in a similar situation. Yeah, I felt good about it. I believe the work doesn't end until the job ends, and maybe even not then. Being the lame duck might be easy, but it is not healthy. I think that as executives transition from role to role, they need to think about their exit as much as they think about their entrance. The famous first 90 days needs to be balanced with the last 90 days. Sadly, many of us never get the chance. We are shuffled out the door with no time, little notice, and our successor already waiting in the wings. That can hurt. But given the opportunity, more companies and leaders need to really think about making the last 90 days of an executive or of anyone valuable for everyone. I want to imagine a world where we can all produce our own Black Star.
Discussion.
Well, it's too bad this is not a video podcast, as I hold up my copy of Black Star for Norman to see.
Thank you. It is a profound album.
It is. Again, it's super interesting. And just as a side note, as we record this, the final in the series of sort of like Life's Work Bowie box set compilations has just come out, and it does include Black Star.
No, it does. I am tons of live shows. Yeah. I've been listening to it on Spotify since I couldn't justify spending the money on the box set.
And it is super interesting, and it's an argument that, again, end of career, I would argue the work he did was even stronger than the early career productivity. And, you know, you're speaking, everybody loves a different part of Bowie, and we should probably have a whole separate podcast around that. I wanted to come back to some of the other things that you had said too, that were super interesting to me. And I think ultimately duck versus swan is a really interesting metaphor for how we leave a particular job.
Yep.
Some of my experience in many cases has been such that I've been lucky enough to be able to go out as a swan. And in other cases, I would like to just maybe expand a little bit on what you said. And even if the company is somehow shuffling you out the door, right, it's like holding your head high like a swan.
Yes.
And saying, I am coming out of this. I am doing all the work I need to be doing. I know that I have left, now my metaphor is falling apart. I know that I have left my side of the street clean, so to speak, as I leave, right? I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. I'm not reacting in the way that I feel like reacting because this hurts. And I think I'm glad you brought that up because it does hurt when that happens.
It does.
Whether somebody's waiting in the wings, not swan wings, but the wings of the stage. You know, whether somebody's waiting in the wings to replace you.
We shall abuse metaphors endlessly on this podcast.
Apparently I am today. Yes. I will have more coffee or more caffeine or whatever.
And wait, actually, I think you're just winging it.
I am winging it, yes. I don't even know where that one comes from. All right, Googling will happen. But I want to say yes to all of that, plus the ability is like you just make the choice to stand up like a swan and make sure. No, I am, you know, I'm leaving all the things transparent. I'm wrapping up the projects as much as the company is allowing me to do it. Right. I am leaving whatever the transition info needs to be to the extent I can. And at least being able to leave with that head held high. And that's where the swan metaphor, I think, also comes in, because you cannot depend on the companies anymore to actually provide a nice plan. So I liked how you flipped that around and said, and also, person who hires other people, if you have the ability to have a nice, you know, last 90 days or even last 30 days or 60.
Even last 30, right? It's just, you hit on so many things there. I just can't resist I love the notion of being able to hold your head up high. And let's face it, so many people, particularly executives, and frankly, particularly marketing executives, are escorted out without them having done anything wrong. This is not the, oh, man, they couldn't do X, Y, Z. This is the new leadership comes in, the board says we're going to make a change, any number of things. There's a reason why the tenure of marketing leaders is so short. And it has very little to do with there being bad marketing leaders. I don't think there are that many bad marketing leaders. I think that there are bad fits. And so when you leave, being able to say, look, I did good work. I'm holding my head up proudly. I'm going to, if given the opportunity, reach out to my successor and give them any insights I can. And handing it off in a way that you feel good about it. And your notion of the swan with their head held up high is a great one. I want to be able to walk out the door, whether it is after 90 days or if it's on a Monday when they say, oh, sorry, the change has come. You're out and the new person's in. Okay, I still want to hold my head up high. And I want to be the professional and the executive and the leader that I aspire to be in that moment.
The way you said that was exactly right, because there is so much, you know, maybe it's not a good fit, or, you know, it's so many cases are where some other person is hired to make change and your performance is not really relevant. It's just change needs to be made. And it could even be that, you know, you are being scapegoated or scape swanned or whatever is going on that has nothing to do with you. And I would argue that particularly in the marketing and sales and anything that touches revenue, that perhaps those folks get hit with that even more.
Yeah, I think, like, let's avoid any scape swanning, which is an image I shan't get out of my mind. But I also think this does tap into the larger challenge that I think we've seen time and again, which is, we all know that we go through cycles in our job, right? We love it. We hate it. We love it. We hate it. I've spoken about this before. My job sucks and I love it. And sometimes my job doesn't suck and I don't love it. But it's those moments of entry and exit that are so critical, I think, because they set the tone for who you are, who you will be, and who you have been. And I feel that there's not enough focus, frankly, on just accepting the reality that people and executives in particular are gonna turn over. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's not. But when you do turn over, just hold your head up and do the best you can to leave a legacy that celebrates the wins and the good work and impact you've had and move on. And I had to learn that lesson over many, many years. And I have really tried to find ways to do that. And I And when I see someone getting back to Mr. Bowie, who just so exemplified the, frankly, a level of courage that I can't even begin to imagine, to know that death was coming and to still produce such amazing work and to orchestrate that it would be released and he would be gone. I am in awe of someone who could do that.
I can't think of a better way to end this episode. So thank you everyone for listening and stay tuned for future episodes. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CMO Reset. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and at cmoreset.com.